Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Switzerland! The U.S. go up! What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra!
Going to try a long hit! What a goal from Neuer! This is spectacular! It's hit with no regard for humanity! Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is! Switzerland! And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute! That was worth the price of admission alone!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome in, everybody, to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. You know what? We're all fat and happy around here. We've been munching on little Patagonia empanadas. Everybody in studio has tried them out. Well, actually, we have a lot of return investors on Little Patagonia Empanadas. I would say if you're from Argentina and you're in town, get over to Little Patagonia Empanadas. All right, welcome in, everybody. Eve of the 4th of July, and thank you for tuning in. We're streaming at ESPN975.com. The call-in number, as always, 713-780-3776. I want to thank the guys on Outkick yesterday that had me on talking about a number of things around the U.S. National team. Listen, I don't think anybody's going to say that players aren't accountable also. So we're going to put a bow on that one tonight, and then we're going to see what U.S. soccer ultimately is going to do. A lot of people say they're going to do absolutely nothing with the coaching position. Others say some things may happen. We have some thoughts on that. A lot to jump into tonight. We got Euro and Copa America talk. Dynamo announced today the striker Ezequiel Ponce, the Argentine, coming over from AEK Athens. Really happy and excited to see that signing. That's addressing a real key position for the Houston Dynamo when it comes to a goal scorer. He is being brought here to be the number one, which leads to questions around what's going to happen with Sebas Ferreira, who in the last two games has played a part in four of the five Dynamo goals. Houston Dash struggles. Look, I don't get any calls for the Dash. It's a fact. But I am going to tell you what I see there. And I do believe that an NWSL team in Houston should be, could be, doing a lot better. So join the fray tonight, 713-780-3776. Daspit Law Firm presents, as always, and a big, big thank you to John and his firm. Let's start with Copa America here tonight. Look, Brazil and Colombia was a great match last night. This is typical South America. I want to remind you of something, because I'm not sure everybody's aware of this. If games are tied in the quarterfinals, if games are draws after 90 minutes in stoppage time, you go straight to penalty kicks. So that's in the minds of all the managers. That'll be in the mind of Ecuador tomorrow when they take on Argentina, who right now is practicing at Energy Stadium. They're going to put over 70,000 in there tomorrow. We don't know if Messi's going to start or not. They said they were going to determine that after tonight, if Leo Messi would get the start and or play tomorrow night. So not being a buzzkill here, but it's a long tournament in a short amount of time. It's long and short at the same time because the games come quickly. Now, another little tip. If you're saying it's too expensive to go see Messi in Argentina, there is this little thing in August called the League's Cup. There's a team called Inter Miami coming here. The star of Inter Miami is Leo Messi. They will play against Tigres, who is a monster brand in Houston. And if you talk to Tigres fans, they're going to tell you they're the most important soccer club in Houston. No disrespect to anybody else. But they will tell you they're more important than the Houston Dynamo. They'll tell you they're more important than anybody in Houston. That's the way they talk. So it'll be Inter Miami and Tigres. which you can get into that game fairly economically. If your whole thing is just to see Messi and be at a Messi game. Okay? So it's pretty simple. All right, so we had a genuine South American edge to Brazil and Colombia. This was such a great watch. Stars everywhere on both teams. That was a huge game because both teams are trying to avoid Uruguay. And in the end, the draw was perfect for Colombia because they get to avoid Uruguay. Brazil will have to play Uruguay in the quarters. And Colombia can also give a big, big thank you to Costa Rica for drawing Brazil in the first match. And I got some thoughts on Costa Rica tonight and why this was a great Copa America for them, even though they did not advance. So let's go first to Colombia, Brazil, Rafinha making it 1-0 for Brazil, 12th minute. This is off the free kick.
Rafinha de pierna izquierda, Camilo le regala todo, su franco izquierdo, Rafinha le pegó, golazo!
Colombia had one called back after some great delivery from Jaimes Rodriguez that was headed in. Did not count, but they would get an equalizer. Daniel Munoz tying it for Colombia in stoppage time of the first half.
Córdoba. Buena la apertura, Munoz. El gol, Munoz. Gol. Colombia.
So that's a goal that helps you avoid Uruguay. And Colombia has been really exciting. They're drawing huge crowds around the country. They're as big a story maybe as anybody in this tournament so far. Genuine playmaker. A genuine playmaker in Jaimes Rodriguez. Kind of a throwback to the 10. Everybody says the 10 is dead. I love seeing Jaimes Rodriguez play the game. Not only the set pieces in the corners, but it's almost like he's got a little bit of a second life. Now, they said he asked for a fitness trainer and a whole bunch of things, but he has looked exceptional. He's been a big draw. He's been a big star in this tournament, and he's playing down in Brazil right now. He's kind of out of sight, out of mind. He's not in Europe anymore, but has had a great Copa America, and Copa America has been getting stronger and stronger as everything continues to advance. So it'll be Argentina and Leo Messi tomorrow night at Energy against Ecuador. It'll be Canada and then Venezuela. My pick is Venezuela there. Brazil, Uruguay, that's going to be a bloodbath. It's the best way to describe that. I'm picking Uruguay to upset Brazil. And then Colombia will beat Panama in the return of Coco Carrasquilla. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. To the phone line we go, and we have Keith. Keith, what's on your mind tonight?
Hey, Glenn, love the show. Love all the soccer conversation. A lot of exciting soccer tournaments going on right now. Obviously, disappointment with the U.S. men's national team losing in the group stage. Hearing a lot of conversations about a potential next head coach. Wanted to get your thoughts on Steve Shenandoah, the LAFC coach, as a potential replacement. Thanks, Glenn.
All right. Thank you very much. Steve Shenandoah, one of the greatest right backs in the history of the U.S. national team. He's actually going to be in Houston on Sunday because the Dynamo were taking on LAFC in a Sunday night MLS game. We're going to give some tickets away to that tonight. Steve Shenandoah, I don't believe that the next coach for me is going to fit a really well-drilled down curriculum and area where they're going to have to succeed. So first of all, let me just say something about Steve Shenandoah. Loved at Hanover in Germany, did a ton of coaching over there. No surprise that he's turning into an excellent coach. I don't know if it's that time. What I think now should happen with the U.S., and listen, like I said before, it's players also. It's not just Greg Berhalter, but I think there's a lot of healthy things coming out of this loss and elimination from this tournament. I believe the next coach should be a high-profile coach, one that has no real prior history with a lot of the players on this team. It can be somebody hired in December. It can even be next summer, depending on who it is. Now, a lot of people are hypothetically putting out Jurgen Klopp. And the reason I say it has to be somebody bigger, more high profile is because we are going to do what is called hiring a hired gun, which happens a lot in World Cups. And we're going to hire this hired gun, Jurgen Klopp, whoever you want to fantasize about. And yes, they can come up with the money to bring somebody like this in. No matter what you say about the women's coach getting equal pay, there's other ways to get people paid. That's not an issue. But this hired gun is going to come in strictly for the purposes of maximizing World Cup 2026 in this country, a once-in-a-lifetime experience as the host country. The focus is solely going to be on advancing this team as far as it can possibly go to keep the American public engaged and in and around the sport. And that's it. We're not going to ask him to oversee our youth programs. We're not going to ask him to oversee player development. We're going to bring in a hired gun to get us deep into the World Cup. That's who it's going to be. Somebody like that. And that person might even be gainfully employed right now. 713-780-3776. So what will U.S. soccer do? That's the question. We're seeing a lot of healthy pressure from former players now. They're bolder in their conversations. We're seeing mainstream sports reporters and podcasters all weighing in simply because it's a hot topic. Guys that don't cover soccer, all of a sudden they're talking about it. And you can sit there and go, why is he talking about it? He doesn't know anything. It doesn't matter. He's talking about soccer. It's good. Nothing wrong with it. Some people may be saying that about me, that I'm off with my opinions on it. It's okay. So what will U.S. soccer do? That's the question. Maybe nothing. The manager may remain. Many people believe that. Maybe he's removed. Maybe U.S. soccer is embarrassed with what's going on. They're taking a ton of heat. Everybody's asking where the sporting director, Matt Crocker, is. All we get is we're going to do a study. I mean, what do you need a study for? You've had a whole year to watch this team not progress. I get everybody talking about, well, some guys aren't playing for their clubs. Yeah, come on. That occurs on other teams, too. It does factor into it. I'm not saying it doesn't. There's plenty of teams where guys aren't at a high. I mean, look at all the Eastern European countries. A lot of those guys aren't even playing in the top leagues. So everybody's got their challenges. That's not an excuse. It's not an excuse. But to quote Aerosmith, this is the same song and dance. U.S. soccer is very clandestine. There's so much secrecy. And trust me, I understand certain things can't be made public. But to be two and out in a group that involved Bolivia and Panama is sad, right? Because this was the time to win the first two and go into the third match on your terms, doing what you wanted in the third and final game. We never get to that third game with more control of our tournament navigation. But it is what it is. And for me, it's more of what's going on since the last World Cup. So we'll take a break. Cactus Music, my great friends down there. Best in vinyl, best in CDs. Get down there. Danish Inspirations, modern contemporary furniture. Now, Jan Christensen and Yannick have the best in modern contemporary furniture. He's a little upset after the loss of Denmark to Germany. But best in modern contemporary furniture, DanishInspirations.com. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by the legendary John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. More U.S. soccer talk coming up. More highlights. We will talk and hear some sound from Greg Berhalter as well. Plus, we'll talk about the new Dynamo signing, Ezequiel Ponce, the Argentine striker.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. All right, let's do this right now. I got two pairs of tickets. Dynamo LAFC. LAFC coming in as one of the hottest teams in the Western Conference. Caller who just called in mentioned their manager, Steve Cherundolo. All right, so right now, we'll do caller number 3, caller number 5 at 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Caller number 3 and 5 will get you a pair of tickets to the Dynamo LAFC on Sunday night at Shell Energy Stadium. And today, the Dynamo introducing their new striker, Ezekiel Ponce. And Ponce comes from AEK Athens in Greece. He was scoring about a goal every two games there. He is the type of striker the Houston Dynamo have been looking for. And he will be expected to push them over the threshold here when he's available. I think he becomes available on July 20th. So there you go. We got some Dynamo LAFC tickets going out. Houston Dash are at Chicago on Saturday. It's a rough year for the Dash. They're outside of the playoff spot. They play Chicago, who's number 7. That's a 12 noon kickoff. You can catch that on TV. Haven't scored a goal in 4 games. Now, when you watch the Dash, and I'm not, it's obvious. They don't really have somebody to play through in midfield. Their wide game isn't good enough. It's a struggle. And they have a center forward who's very, very good in the air, has 4 goals, but they just can't serve her. And really, the Band-Aid that hides a lot of things is your goalkeeper, who's the number one goalkeeper in the league. She's going to the Olympics. She's Jane Campbell. And I know that sounds a little rough. It doesn't mean people aren't trying, but this is very obvious. And really nobody talks about it. We just keep going. So I hope that can be turned around. And listen, they're still within 4 points of making the playoffs. Possession game's been a problem. They don't have enough creativity. Yeah, it's tough. So anyway, what I saw recently, and I'm trying to remember who was the young lady who, Sandy Herrera was her name. She said that Julia Grosso, the former Canadian international who helped them win a gold medal, hit the game-winning penalty kick. She played at UT. She's going to the Chicago Red Stars. Can you imagine if she came to Houston? You could have went and tried to cut a vein into that UT nation, University of Texas. Plus, she's a playmaker, smooth as can be on the ball. She was at Juventus, would have been a perfect foil in the Dash midfield for her Canadian teammate, Sophie Schmidt. Man, and she would have been a draw, I'll tell you that. She's technically very, very gifted, and she would be somebody that you could play through, help you get up the field. Hector Herrera to the All-Star game. I think we've talked about that. B.J. Callahan, the assistant coach to Greg Berhalter, is going to be the head coach of Nashville. Tim Howard came out, the former U.S. goalkeeper, Premier League goalkeeper. You see him on all the Premier League coverage. Tim Howard said, 100% I could lure Jurgen Klopp here. I don't know if that's putting a bait line out there for attention or if that's true. But if it's true and you think you can do it, Tim, I would say get on that special plane right now and go get Jurgen. We would love it. Liga MX will start on Friday. Puebla, Santos, Juarez, Atlas, Querétaro, Tijuana. Saturday at San Luis. Club America, Tigres, Necaxa. That'll be at El Volcan. Chivas, Toluca. Cruz Azul, Mazatlan. Sunday, it's Pachuca, Monterrey. That's a good one. And UNAM and León. 713-780-3776. Excited for the start of Liga MX, Guillermo? Because I know you're a huge Liga MX fan. Or is it just too much too soon?
I'm definitely excited, but going into too much too soon, I feel like the Liga MX always starts sooner and sooner, and then especially with the League's Cup now taking like an entire month off of play, like it's just starting sooner and sooner.
Yeah, it really is, and it's a split season as always. You play 17 games, and 10 teams make the playoff. 9 and 10 have to play a play-in game. Liga MX loves to confuse everybody when it comes to their playoff system. That's for sure.
Yeah, 100%.
It's just like, come on, guys, just keep it simple. Just to correct myself, we thought Argentina was going to be training at Energy Stadium. They're actually at Shell Energy Stadium. I wish I was down there. Would love to watch them train. So they're talking about the fact that Lionel Messi may or may not play tomorrow, may or may not start. There's a lot going on with that from Lionel Scaloni. And every time I see Scaloni, I remember how lambasted he was and lambasted, I guess. Is it basted or basted? Anyway, the press in Argentina were crushing him. And then he went on to lead him to win the World Cup. There was some talk, I think one of the, in the press conference, I think one of the journalists asked about the history and how Argentina's dominated with wins over Ecuador, and Scaloni came out and said, I don't pay a lot of attention to statistics. Ecuador's a good team. They work hard. They have a lot of good players. They have a good coach. You know, he said all the right things, but it's one of the things that came out. The other was that they were going to, you know, look at Messi after tonight. But, you know, he's been out there training. So this is more of a play, I think, on whether you need him against Ecuador or you can save him, because this guy has been playing everywhere and anywhere. And again, I'll mention, if your whole soul bane of existence is seeing him play a game, then the tickets are cheaper for the Inter-Miami Tigres match, which that's going to be cool in itself. But first things first, we got Argentina here tomorrow against Ecuador. It's going to be super exciting. All right, so let's get back to a little bit of the U.S. national team, and then we can put that one to bed, and then we'll wait and see what the U.S. national team is going to do in the future. Quick note here, Spain-Germany Friday, unbelievable game. Portugal-France Friday. Again, two giants are going down in the Euros. England-Switzerland Saturday. Swiss have played the better soccer. Somehow I see England winning that game, though. But the Swiss have played very organized, great team shape, great compactness, been a really effective team, very well coached, and somehow I see England winning that game. And then Netherlands-Turkey. I think the Turkey run is done, but those guys are warriors. So let's put a little bit of a bow on Greg Berhalter's situation. I can say we left it at what's going to happen with U.S. soccer. We wish the sporting director would come out more. I wish U.S. soccer would come out more just overall to the American soccer public, because communication and engagement is just such a great thing to grow the sport. And if you're transparent, whether you make the right decisions always or not, and nobody's ever going to make them all right, it's just a good thing. And yes, the players are accountable 100%. My statement way back, though, is that this group was seemingly getting too comfortable with the manager. The results showed it. The up-and-down nature of application showed it. Berhalter started with 20- and 21-year-olds. Now they're 24, they're 25. It's 5 years on. Not a lot of progression since the best game I think the U.S. played was a 0-0 draw with England in the World Cup. So some say there's no chance Berhalter out. I'm not sure. I'm all for the hired gun to take us through the World Cup. So let's put a bow on that one. If anybody has anything to say on that, let's do it. We're getting some phone calls. 713-780-3776. What kind of manager do you want to see? Do you agree with my theory? It's time to just get a high-profile guy simply to focus on 2026 World Cup. It's a rare opportunity. Is that what you want to see? Or do you want to see somebody from within, you know, Steve Cherundolo or Jim Curtin? For me, it's got to be somebody super high profile that nobody's comfortable with. All right, let's go to the phone lines. And Chris, what do you have?
Hey, Glenn. Just one of those tickets. Wanted to say thank you. Look, I know the World Cup is coming here another 2 years, and I couldn't be less excited. It's just like it's not coming. I'm so depressed about it. I have no connection at all with this U.S. team. I'm a Hispanic American. I don't want to root for Mexico. That's not my team. You know, I grew up watching the Olympics, USA. I loved Landon Donovan and Dempsey growing up, but mm-hmm. I'm just so disconnected right now with the current team, and I don't know where we go forward. Like, who's the right hire at upper management, all that, coach? It's just, I don't know what to do. I'm here. I'm ready to root for somebody, but I don't know what to do.
Well, I'm going to try to walk you off the ledge. Can I try?
You can try. Thank you. Well, thank you for the tickets, first. Oh, we could start there.
Did you win the tickets?
Yeah.
Excellent. So you got a pair of tickets to Sunday night. Great, great.
Yeah.
Well,
least I could do is give a phone call.
No. That's okay. I like what you're saying. And I think, listen, that's the job of U.S. soccer now is to reinvigorate everybody, right? Everybody's down. Everybody looked at this Copa America as a big measuring stick. Everybody, including myself. The big thing for me in this tournament, if I'm looking micro, was, look, you got to beat Bolivia. You got to beat Panama. You got to have 6 points. After two games, you have to be advanced finally in a tournament where we're not going into the final game, do or die. This was the perfect group for that. All right, I'm gonna use Costa Rica as an example. Costa Rica got knocked out of the World Cup too, but you know what? They're going home proud, prideful. They tied Brazil. They beat Paraguay, and they got smacked by Colombia. But they got three games with a turned-over team now, a bunch of young guys, okay? So to everybody who's saying, well, they're not playing for their club teams in Europe, everybody's got their challenges, right? So, you know, they're going home prideful and very happy with what they've done, and it's progress. We are not in progress now. Now we're flat-lined. If not, we've dropped a notch or two here. We're trying to figure out what the future is going to be, and there's going to be angst from a supporters group and a fan base. I think one of the supporters groups came out now, and they're demanding something from U.S. soccer, and that also goes to my comment about U.S. soccer's got to get out there and be more transparent with the public. You have to start giving something to people. You can't give everything. I understand that. But this skull and bones, clandestine, you know, behind the curtain, Wizard of Oz stuff, it's got to stop. It's got to stop. You're not growing the sport then. And then everybody can look at you and rightfully say you're a money-making organization and that's all you care about. You never knock the ticket prices down to fill out buildings. You keep them at high levels. And frankly, you know, you're not going to earn people's respect unless you come back and extend the olive branch a little bit, and that begins with transparency. Who is Matt Crocker? Come on, Matt. Come out and talk to the public. Honestly. So that's where kind of I see it now. That doesn't mean things can't change very quickly. With a big, exciting hire, and all of a sudden there's a new level of motivation. Maybe there's a little fear factor in players now if they're going to make the team or not. I always thought that a little fear in a coach is not a bad thing. I know that doesn't fit the current norms of society now because it's all got to be kumbaya. But I always thought a little fear, healthy fear, not abuse for all of you out there going crazy right now. Healthy fear of a coach when it comes to meritocracy, playing time, and position. Okay? That's where I'm at. So if you bring in a high-profile kind of guy, I think that can maybe change, and you know what? Maybe then you'll regain some of that pride for the U.S. But I think you're basically, Chris, giving us a synopsis of what a lot of U.S. fans feel right now, and I think that's a great thing. Thank you for that.
Thank you, Glenn.
All right. Well, I'll see you Sunday night. All right. So that was Chris. That was good stuff from him. Yeah, I think there's a lot of U.S. fans feeling like that. You know, there has been a lot of hype. I never use those two words that everybody's complaining about right now. I never use that when it comes to the U.S. players. I use them as young and ambitious. There's an edge lost, and the edge can be lost both by them, but the edge can also be lost if the manager's a little bit comfortable and the players are too comfortable. By the way, Sunday night, it's the Dynamo, we mentioned LAFC, it's Military Appreciation Night. So for all you veterans out there and guys who put it on the line, big thank you to all of you guys. Let's see, I just celebrated, my dad passed away in June a year, was a Marine. So it's over a year now, a little bit over a year. We mentioned the Dynamo tonight in action against Real Salt Lake. Real Salt Lake is third in the West. They got the number one goal scorer in the league, Christian Arango. Man's got 16 goals. Let's hope the Dynamo are going to get those goals out of Ezequiel Ponce. They feel very confident about that, I think. Quick shout out here to El Batallon and everybody. There was a moment of silence in the game for Herman Sada, and Julian Crane, and I think Julian Crane, and then Leo Ponce and some others. And I apologize for not mentioning the others' names. Yeah, it's always important to be thinking of so many that have been our friends that we've lost, and friends in football and like-minded individuals. So Germán Sada, Julian Crane, Leo Ponce, and I apologize. I know I'm missing one or two. All right. We mentioned the Mexican League. Sorry. By the way, Tigres' coach is Veljko Panovich, former Chicago Fire. How about that? So we got big Copa America tomorrow. Big shout out here to Hugh O'Connor's Pub out on I-10, the Marquee Entertainment Center. I would suggest you get over there for Copa America watching. I would suggest you go over there on Friday. You know what? I may go there Friday. Hugh O'Connor's Pub. It's out on I-10. They got all the great pub food there. They've got great beer selection, great whiskey selection. They got the bangers and mash. They got every kind of shepherd's pie, everything you want. You go in there, say hello to Goose. David, great guys. Been big supporters of our show for a long, long time. I do want to mention here really quickly before we get to break. International Soccer Symposium up in Dallas-Fort Worth. Go over to my Twitter, at Glenn Davis Soc, because right there is where you can find a lot of information about this. And there's the Diego Placente is one of the youth international coaches for Argentina. Now, we have a bracket challenge, and I don't want to miss this. I got to whip this out real fast. Bracket challenge right now. 2024 Copa America knockout round is set. Facebook or our Twitter X to join our bracket challenges. Simple rules. Pick your bracket, crown a champion. If you pick the correct tournament winner, you win a Soccer Matters swag bag. And believe me, I'm going to make it good. Pick a perfect bracket, win tickets to an upcoming Dynamo and Dash match. All brackets completed by 7:59 on July 4th. That's tomorrow night. So get the brackets in, okay? We need you to do that. It's the Copa America Bracket Challenge brought to you by Soccer Matters. That swag bag is going to have tickets. It's going to have hats, T-shirts, soccer balls. I'm going all out. So whoever wins that swag bag, it's good. 2024 Copa America Bracket Challenge. Facebook or Twitter X. We take a break. Tab Ramos, the former U.S. international, is coming up next. More U.S. soccer talk.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, tonight, the final segment. We continue on here, Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Big thanks to John and his personal injury attorney firm, because without John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, we're not getting the great soccer talk that we get on the air here and our great guests as well. So a big thank you to John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. Also, LamontBrands.com, T-shirts and hats there, and all the proceeds go to the 501c charity Snowdrop Foundation for pediatric cancer and cancer scholarships. All right, we bring in former U.S. national team. Tab Ramos also has coached the under-20 team. And for those here in Houston, Texas, you remember him with the Houston Dynamo. Tab, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me on, Glenn. Always enjoy
Tab's it. Tab's been covering the Copa America with Football de Primera. Well, I know how outspoken you've been about the national team. I know how much you love it. Just some general thoughts on the U.S. being eliminated from Copa America.
Yeah, I mean, obviously incredibly disappointed, only because we've been, coming back from not great results a number of times and saying, as we're doing that, that Copa America is going to be when we're going to be ready and we're going to show the world and this is going to be the competition which we're going to utilize to as a gauge to how close we are to being able to be competitive in the World Cup that we're going to have at home. And, as recent as 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago, after the 5-1 Colombia loss, we brushed that aside as also being, hey, it's just preparation, wait till Copa America and then we're ready to go. And here we are in Copa America, and all we have to show is a 2-0 win against likely the worst team in the tournament.
Yeah, and but when you looked at that group with Bolivia and Panama, you say, okay, this is the time now where U.S. soccer grows. You get the results against the teams you should. You get into a final game against Uruguay a little bit more comfortable. That always bothers me, that we always make it so difficult in the group stages, whether it's at a World Cup or in a tournament like this.
Yeah, but we always get out of it, you know, and this time we didn't. And so not only are we looking at a team that's not leading us to new horizons, but we're actually not doing as well as we were doing before.
Yeah, and I get that point, we get out of it. But a lot of times we get out of it, like in the last World Cup, and we're taking on the Netherlands in the round of 16, and we've had to exhaust ourselves to get there. So now we don't have the punch and the energy, you know, in the knockout phases. It always seems like it's a cavalier spirit. But that's beyond it now, because we didn't even get out, to your point, of the Copa America. So looking back a year from the last World Cup, talk to me a little bit, because I think most of us are looking at this in the context of it has not accelerated, is not progressed from the last World Cup in Qatar.
Yeah, I think, you know, pretty much across the board, I have to agree with the opinions of a lot of people out there now. I mean, this is not new. You and I have discussed it before, but we are not seeing the progress. And that's, I think, the biggest problem. So I think coming into this last game that, you know, the U.S. lost, you know, many people said, well, you know, we have to win this game in order for the coach to stay on. And for me, you know, after you have a coach for a period of almost 6 years, I don't think it depends on one result anymore. I think the result didn't really matter. I think what matters is that the team is just not getting better. We, you know, it's unfortunate that it took this loss for some people to jump on board to recognize that the team is not getting better. But the team's not getting better. At least everybody knows that now.
Dab Ramos joining us was the former under-20 U.S. national team coach, very familiar with this U.S. roster, having worked with so many of these younger players. So I made the point yesterday that Greg Berhalter may have been the perfect coach for a bunch of young guys 5 years ago, but that players can outgrow a coach. Is there some possibility here that he was the right coach in the beginning, but isn't the right coach now?
Well, you know, I'm sure the people who decided who was going to be the coach are smarter than me, and they had a, you know, they always have these search firms that in the end confirm just the one person that you want to hire in the first place. That's usually how that works. But they did that. And I think the surprising part was the second time, because coaches normally, you know, international soccer, there's very few that work after the first cycle. And yet we decided to keep Greg for a second cycle. And that was mostly done through, it seemed like, his own campaign of, you know, convincing players that he was the guy. And then the players sort of coming forward publicly saying that they would be comfortable with Greg and that, you know, everything was going to be great. And I think the team has shown exactly that. They have shown that they're just in a comfort zone. The players aren't really pushed, you know, the lineup is always the same. And not that the lineup being the same is necessarily a bad thing, but it gives the impression from the outside that there's no real competition for positions. And I think when you don't have real competition for positions, I don't think the players are pushing as hard as they can push, and the team doesn't get better.
Astute. That's an astute observation. Overall, from the outside, I think a lot of people feel that U.S. soccer is kind of this closed door society, and it's very comfortable overall to the entire soccer public. Do you feel like that, having been a part of it?
I do, because you know you have to think, you know, a couple of years ago we went out of our way to get a new sporting director, and we brought him from another country. Right. So we brought Southampton's a sporting director to be the sporting director here. And yet we don't hear from our sporting director. I mean, I expected if there's a sporting director from another country to have either monthly press conferences or something to be letting to let the rest of the country know what we're thinking, where we're going. Are we moving in the right direction? Are we happy with this? Or do we have more programs? Is the programming getting better? We don't know any of those things. We didn't know them before, and we don't know them now. And so I think that makes it difficult. It makes you wonder why we needed to bring a sporting director from another country.
Yeah, that's Matt Crocker is his name, from Southampton, as Tab mentioned. Yeah, and that's a strange thing to me, because why wouldn't you want to be getting out in front and engaging everybody in the process? Because after all, U.S. soccer, I thought, was partially about growing the game in this country. We all know it's a money-making machine, but I just don't understand why we wouldn't want to connect people and let people in this country who passionately care about the game hear from the sporting director and make a little bit more of an intimate connection.
Well, we come from a little bit of a different generation, in particular because we've been selling the game, you know, for decades. And we know that that never stops, because soccer is still not one of the top, likely, six or seven sports in this country. There's no way to describe it any other way. So we have to continue to sell. And I thought part of the idea of bringing someone overseas from overseas is having someone who can get in front of it and who can, you know, tell people where we are and what we're doing and where we need to go next, and keep people informed. And we haven't done that. I think, you know, U.S. soccer still continues to be this sort of mysterious organization where we never know what we're thinking.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think a lot of people agree with that. Communication would go a long way. Tab Ramos, former U.S. international, one of the most skilled and gifted players the U.S. has ever produced. He's been the under-20 national team coach as well, and as passionate a guy as you'll find when it comes to the U.S. national team. I think it's great that guys like you and a lot of your ex-teammates that have been full national team players are speaking out. I think maybe this is one of the healthy silver linings of what's going on right now with the U.S. not advancing in the Copa America. You have always been very upfront, very respectfully outspoken, though, in a way, and I think in a healthy way. But I think this is something that's good. I think that element of healthy pressure and people discussing the game and having real opinion about it without character assassinating, I think it's important right now. And I think U.S. soccer in a lot of ways needs to be pushed, don't you?
I do. And that's why, you know, we mentioned before that it's important that there are a lot of people on board now. You know, the things that we've been saying about making no progress for the last, we've been saying that for over a year now, that the alarm should be on. I think the alarm is finally on. I think finally everyone else in the country has caught on that, you know, if we, you know, we have to look at this. We're in a very serious situation now, because this tournament is over. Our next games are Panama, New Zealand, in Canada, I think. So we go back now to playing games that aren't really that big. And no disrespect to Panama, they're in the second round of Copa America. Canada, now with Jesse Marsh, they're in the second round, so they're ahead of us. But we need the type of games that we could have gotten in this Copa America. We need to be playing the Colombias and Brazils and Argentinas and Hollands and France and England's of the world, and we're likely not going to be getting many of those games between now and 2026, and I think that's going to be difficult.
Yeah, and that's September, October. It's tough to schedule games, but that's not an excuse, because that's the whole reason everybody was focused on Copa America. I mean, look, last night was the type of game we wanted, right? We signed up for Copa America for games like Uruguay. Unfortunately, we didn't advance and move on to the next round. So what do you think happens with the coaching position? What do you think should happen with the coaching position?
What I think happens is, you know, there was a statement from Matt Crocker yesterday saying that there is going to be a review. Hopefully the review doesn't take a year, you know, because the last review we saw was after the World Cup, and that took forever. So I hope that the review happens quickly, and that the decision after that review is, this is what I hope for, is that we end up likely with an interim coach between now and likely December or January. And at that point, now maybe the doors are open to hiring someone who has tons of international experience, who has been there, done that, that we don't end up with let's say a current MLS coach or something like that, that has to learn the way of the international. There's no time for that now. So I think if there was an interim coach between now and in December or January, I think now we could go with a, 18-month project for somebody to say, hey, look, the only reason we're hiring you is to do well at the World Cup, to whatever it takes to squeeze the most juice out of this team that we have. That, by the way, we continue to have good players. That hasn't changed. But someone that can push these players to the limit so that we can get the most out of what we have.
So almost like in a way, a hired gun, somebody that is not anybody that can't not come in without a clean slate when looking at this base of players. And then a guy that none of the players are comfortable with. That's what I'm kind of hearing, right?
Yeah. I mean, we've been hearing for the last 5-6 years that we're developing a team and that the team is young and that this and that. The team's not young anymore. The team is ready to go. And the team is ready to be pushed. And I don't think we need a coach right now to develop anything. We need a coach to make this team as good as he can make it to win in 2026.
Improve the cauldron of competition and meritocracy within the team?
No doubt. But knowing those players personally, I wouldn't hold it against any of them. I think a lot of them have a lot more in the tank. And I think they will welcome the competition. And in the end, we may end up with the same 11 that we have now. I'm not necessarily changing the player, saying the players need to go. In the end, we may end up with the same ones because in the end, these are the guys that are likely going to push the most. But we certainly need that person at this point that's going to get the most out of them.
Former under-20 coach for the U.S. He's Tab Ramos. He's on Copa America Football de Primera with Andreas Contour. That's a pretty good team there. That's a power team right there when I think it comes to broadcasting. I like that with you and Andreas.
We have a great team here. We have Pibe Valderrama. We have Alex Aguinaga. We have Jorge Burruchaga from Argentina. We have some great analysts here. It's an excellent group.
I was about to say, you guys are cornering the market on creative midfielders there when you talked Aguinaga and Valderrama, and I'm thinking of you. I'm like, okay, these guys are going with all the creative minds to analyze the game. I love it. None of these big 6'2" defenders.
Yeah. Let's put it this way. The group that we have, we like to have the ball, these analysts.
There you go. We love that. So, Tab, look, you worked with so many of these kids now, and you made an interesting point a second ago about they're not kids anymore, right? Like when we first saw them with Greg Berhalter, they've matured. They've been in pressure cooker environments in Europe. Just from your lens, just talk to me about what you've seen in their growth and maturity, because, you had them at a phase where they're a lot younger and they're still developing.
Yeah. I mean, some of them have gone on to some great careers. I mean, who would have thought, just 10 years ago that we'd have, Christian Pulisic playing such a big part for AC Milan, or that Weston McKennie would be such an important player to Juventus, or that, we'd have Tyler Adams being as successful as he was with Leeds United before he got injured, a couple years ago. Like we didn't think that those things were in front of us or that they were coming, and yet we had them. So I think we're much further ahead than we could have thought 10 years ago in terms of our players being in the right environments. But now it's also up to them to continue to play an important position within their teams, because a lot of them have started to fall a little bit within their teams. They started to now go to other teams because they weren't playing as much. And I think likely going into this tournament, there's a lot of players, if you were to look at, Matt Turner in goal, or Gio Reyna or Tyler Adams, guys who, came into a tournament were certainly important players to the team, but came into the tournament without playing. And that's not a good thing. So it's great that everybody's at great clubs, but you want guys leading the way at those clubs. You want guys that every week are playing 90 minutes. And we don't have a lot of those. That's the unfortunate part.
Tab Ramos joining us. Final question, Tab. With this being a watershed moment, 2026, U.S. hosting the World Cup along with Canada and Mexico, I sit here and I think of this opportunity for the sport, for the team, for the public, for the general sports media. There's so many things that can come out of this. Can we even put a value on how important it is for the U.S. to have a good team and a team that represents the U.S. in 2026 in the World Cup?
Yeah, and let's not forget that this is a good thing, that, you know, the fact that so many people are up in arms about what's going on is the fact that we're trying to become a soccer nation. So it's a good thing that there's a lot of argument and discussions about what should happen next. So, I mean, this is all normal of a soccer nation. These are the growing pains that we're going to have. I'm bullish about something's going to happen here. Hopefully someone will come in, the team will turn around, and I still believe in the players that we have that will end up doing a good job in 2026.
Tab, thanks so much as always. We appreciate you coming on, and listen, continued success calling the Copa America. We always appreciate your great insight, and we'll talk to you again.
Thank you, Glenn. Appreciate it.
All right, that's Tab Ramos, one of the great players for the U.S. national team. Also, excellent coaching career, worked with a lot of the current players on the U.S. national team with the under-20s, and you can catch him on Football Day Primera. All right, that does it tonight here. Podcast, Spotify, Apple, Google. You can also get it at ESPN975.com. Big thank you to our presenting sponsor, John Daspit, and the Daspit Law Firm. Until next week, I'm Glenn Davis. Remember, soccer matters.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You're due for your biannual cleaning, something you usually forget and would rather not remember. But you just got a reminder from the dentist you look forward to seeing. The Gentle Dentist, the only dentist you're happy to come back to. The Gentle Dentist in Worthington. How can we make you smile? Call 614-431-3311.